every stain, where sin had been pardoned, grace was proclaimed.
The mercy of Jesus still overwhelms me. He knew my soul was so unclean.
Just like the leper, I cried out his name. He reached down and touched me. I won't be the same. Where sin had been pardoned, grace was proclaimed. Forgiven, forgotten, I have been changed. Shout to the heavens, he washed every stain. Where sin had been pardoned, grace was proclaimed. Shout to the heavens, he washed every stain. Where sin had been pardoned, grace was proclaimed.
As you find that, please stand your feet. Song number 423. No one ever cared for me like Jesus, amen. He's the greatest Savior you could ever have, amen.
I would love to tell you what I think of Jesus, since I found in him a friend so strong and true. I would tell you how he changed my life completely. He did something that no other friend could do. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no other friend so kind as he. No one else could take the sin and darkness from me. Oh, how much he cared for me. Oh, my life was full of it when Jesus found me. Oh, my heart was full of misery and woe. Jesus places strong and loving arms about me, and he led me in the way I ought to go. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no other friend so kind as he. No one else could take the sin and darkness from me. Much he cared.
Good singing on the last.
Every day he comes to me with new assurance. More and more I understand his words of love. But I never know just why he came to save me, till someday I see his blessed face above. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. Other friends so kind as he. No one else could take the sin and darkness from me. Oh, how much he cared for me.
Good singing. You may be seated this morning.
One day a plain village woman, driven by love for her Lord, recklessly poured out a valuable essence, disregarding the score. And once it was broken and spilled out, a fragrance filled all the room, like a prisoner released from his shackles, like a spirit set free from the tomb, broken and spilled out, just for love of you, Jesus, my own precious treasure, lavished on thee, broken and spilled out, and poured at your feet in sweet abandon. Let me be spilled out and used up for thee. Lord, you were God's precious treasure, his loved and his own perfect son, sent here to show me the love of the Father. Yes, just for love it was done. And though you were perfect and holy, you gave up yourself willingly, and you spared no expense for my pardon. You were spilled out and used up for me, broken and spilled out, just for love of me, Jesus, God's most precious treasure, lavished on me.
Take your Bibles, please, and we're going to take a minute to turn to the book of Lamentations, because everyone has their Bible marked right there. Lamentations chapter 3, if you find Isaiah, Jeremiah, and then Lamentations, those are a couple of the bigger books before it. And then as you find that, would you stand to your feet, or just stand up anyway and look on someone else's Bible if you can't catch it in time. Lamentations chapter 3, so you have Isaiah, Jeremiah, and Lamentations. Just want to make it difficult on you this morning. Preface to the message. We were I mentioned it before, but we went on this trip to Mexico to Josiah's wedding. I woke up this morning and said, what day is it? What country am I in? And what's for breakfast? I think it was somewhere in that order. And so if something isn't said in the right manner, someone wave at me that I said something unbiblical, heretical, or something, or, you know, I don't know. In Lamentations chapter 3, I actually feel good right now, but we'll see how that goes as time goes along.
Lamentations 3, and we'll read verse number 22 and 23. Let's read these all together. All right, Lamentations 20, chapter 3, verse 22 and 23. Read them all together out loud. Ready and begin. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your love. Thank you for being a friend that sticketh closer than a brother, for your great grace. Lord, you're so wonderful. I pray you bless the service as you already have. And continue, Lord, we need you, and we pray for your help today. If there's anyone in this room that does not know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, if they don't know that heaven is their home, Lord, today would you capture their heart. Lord, would they turn to you and accept Jesus Christ as their Savior. Help those that are hurting, encourage and strengthen and challenge us. We ask in the name of Jesus, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Lamentations chapter 3 and 22 and 23. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. You think about that today? Last week I preached about God's great grace, and today it's about God's great mercy. God's great mercy. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions, they fail not. Are you thankful for that? His compassions, they fail not. Great is thy faithfulness. It says they're new every morning. Every morning they're new. The grace and the mercy, the love of God, it's new every single morning. Today we're going to look at God's great mercy. As I mentioned last week, grace and mercy are many times misunderstood for each other. And even if you go to look up the definitions, many times you'll get the wrong definition for those that would say that it is the same. But mercy is kindness or goodwill towards the miserable and the afflicted, joined with a desire to help them. Think about that for a minute. The mercy of God, it's the kindness or goodwill towards the miserable and the afflicted, joined with a desire to help them. Picture our Savior, right? He looks down and sees the miserable, right? He sees us, the sinners, the afflicted, and he looks at us and our sinful condition, and he says, I want to reach out and help them. I want to reach out and help them. That's the mercy of God, that we are undeserving of God's grace. Amen? Amen. We'll try that again. We're undeserving of God's grace, right? Amen. We're undeserving of God's love. And we're undeserving of God's mercy. See, again, the grace of God is that God bestows a gift to us. He gives us something that we don't deserve. Do we deserve salvation? Church, no, we don't. I don't deserve it. And I can't earn it. It's good to remember that, church. We cannot earn salvation in any way, shape, or manner. Getting baptized has never saved a single person, right? Going to church has never saved a single person. Coming to kneel down and pray, just to pray to God, is not going to save someone. You must call out to God and confess your sin and realize Jesus is the only way to heaven, and God bestows that gift of grace. Undeserved, unmerited favor. I cannot earn the favor of God, because at my very best, I'm still a sinner. And so are you. At our very best, the Bible says my righteousness is as filthy rags in the sight of God. When we try to come to God to impress God, God's not impressed with our sinful condition. But by God's grace, he gives us salvation. Amen? By the grace of God. And then we see grace is a gift that we don't deserve. And mercy, so grace is getting something that we don't deserve. And mercy is not getting something that we do deserve, right? Grace is that God gives me a home in heaven, a gift that I don't deserve. God's mercy is that I don't go to hell for all eternity. That's what we deserve, isn't it? You didn't want to hear that today, maybe. Maybe you don't agree with it, but that's what the Bible said. When we were, I told a few at the wedding, when we were flying down to Mexico, we had a layover in Phoenix, I waved out the window to the Thomases. They didn't see us. But while we were there, about 30 Mormon 18-year-old teenagers were getting on the plane with us, 30 of them. They're 18, and you can say 18 is an adult, but I beg to differ a little bit. They were well-behaved, 18 years old, and all of them called elders. And they all came in there, and they filed in, and it was a whole, like, they took a whole section, and everyone in the airport was watching them. We're all watching them, all the guys in their suits, the girls, and there's three girls and like 30 guys. They were a little outnumbered, maybe in the right manner, I'm not sure. And they all file in, and we're all watching them, and I was kind of watching them. I'm thinking, being a youth pastor for years, I'm looking at them, I wonder how well-behaved they're going to be. And they did great. And I thought, I wonder how well-behaved our group would be if we sent a bunch of 18-year-olds without a youth working. I thought, all right, we'll work on that one. But they all pile in, and I thought, I might be sitting next to one of them, 18-year-olds, and they're going on their mission. And I got to talk to the boy, and his name escapes me right now. I think it was Kyle. And I sat next to him on the flight. Very, very nice young man. And they all 18-year-olds, just graduated from high school, and they're going 6 weeks to Mexico City to train for their mission, and then 2 years to a Spanish-speaking country all over the place. And so I sat next to this young man, and I was praying for an opportunity to witness to him. And I was praying, and I got a chance to talk to him, and we chatted back and forth, and a really nice young man though. And I talked to him, and I said, you know, he said, well, you know, what do you believe in? And so we kind of went back and forth on that a little bit, and as I'm talking to him, I never heard this before, but he said they believe, and I don't know if this was their church or whatnot exactly. They believe that when you die, you'll stand before God in the judgment, and at that moment, you'll get a chance to receive or accept Christ when you stand before Jesus face to face to accept or reject him. And I tried to encourage him with the fact that Jesus is the Son of God. They don't believe that Jesus is the Son of God. They think that Jesus was created by God. And then also a lot of works needed for their salvation and being a good person. But no, it's not by our goodness. It's not by our goodness. And I said, I want to encourage you. Let me see one time where you come to Christ, where you're born again into the family of God and you receive the mercy and the grace of God that's applied at the moment of your salvation. And we had a great talk, and I said, there must be a time in your life where you trust in Jesus Christ. And he didn't get saved. I wish I could say he did at that moment, but I pray that he does come to know Christ as his Savior. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They're new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Other words, comparable to mercy in the Bible is compassion and the long-suffering of God. I want to take you on a bit of a journey here on God's great mercy today. I want to read you a number of scripture verses. If you'd like to turn there quickly, you may, but it's a number of verses. So we'll turn to Psalms 25 and verse number 6 about God's great and wonderful mercy that he's bestowed upon us. And Psalms 25 and verse number 6, I'm going to go quick, so if you don't get there, that's okay, you can just listen, but I want to read a number of scripture verses in reference to explaining the mercy of God that God gives to us. In Psalms 25, 6, remember, O Lord, the Bible says, thy tender mercies and thy loving kindnesses, for they have been ever of old. Think about that, the mercies of God that have been ever of old, the Bible says there, tender mercies. Tender mercy refers to God's deep, compassionate, loving kindness, often described as coming from the depths of his being. It signifies a heartfelt, gentle, profound mercy, not just a superficial act. The tender, heartfelt mercies of God. You know, God could have looked at mankind as he created Adam and Eve perfect in the Garden of Eden and said, I put you in a perfect place, perfect people. Don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And if you sin, good luck, you're on your own. Right? In my sinful nature, all right, you say I might be harsh. But if it was me, I'd say, and I'm not trying to put my place in the place of God, I'd say, well, that was your choice. Good luck. Figure it out. Right? But in God's mercy, look at that. They deserve death. He said, in the day you eat thereof, you shall surely what? Die. They'll die. They would die physically someday, but spiritually at that moment, their soul was condemned to a place called hell. But by the mercy of God, by the mercy of God, God came down and found them in the garden in his mercy, and he desired to draw them closer to him. God's tender mercies. His tender mercies. It touches the heart of God that one sinner would spend eternity in hell. It touches the heart of God that one Christian would turn away and turn their back on God and walk away from the Lord. The tender mercy of God that if you call out to God, God could say, you know what? That was your choice. You chose to leave me. You chose to forsake me. I gave you the rules. I put you in a perfect place, and you chose to leave me. That's your fault. But in mercy, I don't deserve it. But God said, I give you that forgiveness that you don't deserve. We see the tender mercy of God in Psalm 145. And verse number 8 is the next verse, Psalm 145. And verse 8, we see the great mercy of God. The great mercy of God. Psalm 145 and verse number 8. I'll give you a moment. It sounds like people are turning there. Psalm 145, 8, the Bible says, "The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, and of great mercy." Of great mercy. I love that word great. Think about that for a minute. Don't ever pass by one word in the Bible without giving it the attention that it deserves. That of God's great mercy. See, it's not a small amount of mercy. It's not a moderate amount of mercy. It's a great grace. It's a great mercy that God gives to us. He's gracious. He's, the Bible says, full of compassion. And He has great mercy. I'm thankful that God's mercy isn't just good, but that God's mercy is great. Aren't you? That God's mercy is great. It goes beyond our human comprehension. The mercy that God would bestow upon mankind. The great mercy. I want you to turn to Ephesians chapter 2. If you can't, that's okay. But Ephesians chapter 2, if you want to just listen, I understand. Ephesians 2 and verse number 4 and 5. I'm sorry, just Ephesians 2 and verse number 4. Ephesians 2 and verse 4, the Bible says, "But God." Those two words right there, "but God." In the previous verses, it talks about our disobedience. We're the children of wrath, and that we're on the wrong course. We're going the wrong direction. You ever hear a story that starts out really bad, and you're like, hurry and get to the ending, right? Like, did the person survive? You know, like, but what happened? You know, something was happening, but God stepped in. Think about that. We're the children of disobedience in the previous verses, the children of wrath, even as others, but God. But God came and turned that around in a moment. But God, who is rich in mercy. God's not poor. Amen? He's not poor. He's full of grace. He's full of compassion. He's full of love and forgiveness. And he's rich, the Bible says, rich in mercy. There is no end to God's mercy. Amen. There's no end. It's not like God has given out enough and there's not enough left. If I went to give out money today, we wouldn't get too far around the room. If I went to go, you know, hand everyone $100, we wouldn't get too far. The other day, the boys and I were trying to figure out how much money. Who was it? Elon Musk could give to the whole world. We were calculating how rich he is and how much money he could give to the whole world because he's that rich and he keeps getting more rich. But guess what? At some point, our riches run out, right? At some point, the bank account's done, it's closed, and they're calling for the bills that are due. But God is rich in mercy. Amen? He's rich. There's no end to the riches of God. And for a sinner that calls out for salvation or forgiveness, God said, "I can give forgiveness to you. My mercy is good for you. My mercy is good for you," to all those that call upon Him, because He is rich in mercy. He is also plenteous in mercy. I'm just going to read this verse, Psalms 86, verse 5, "For Thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive. Plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon Thee," that the Lord is good. Amen? That God is good. People today, well, if God would do this, like God has to justify Himself to us. That God has to, that we have to agree with what God is doing, but God is good, isn't He? That God is good and ready to forgive. He's ready. You say, well, God forgave everyone on the cross. He gave the opportunity for forgiveness. Amen? But you have to call out to Him for that forgiveness. You have to come to Him. It's plenteous, the Bible says, in mercy. Plentiful, abundant, overflowing. And He's ready to forgive, to give that mercy out to all those that call upon Thee. He's plenteous, the Bible says in 1 Peter. He has abundant mercy. We are undeserving of God's mercy. Titus 3:5, "Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His," what? "Mercy He saved us." People think, well, I deserve to be saved. No, I don't. I deserve a home in heaven. No, I don't. I deserve this family and this health and life. No, I don't. I don't deserve any of it. But by God's mercy, I deserve hell for all eternity. I don't deserve anything. but by God's mercy that he bestows it upon me. I'm undeserving, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. Why? By the washing. Or how? By the washing of regeneration, by the renewing of the Holy Ghost, undeserving of his mercy. God's unfailing mercies, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us, for the Bible says, from what? All unrighteousness. So what sin can God not forgive? Is there one? There's not a single one. Is there a sin that I may not be willing to forgive? Sure. I'm flesh. You hurt me or my family enough, I might say I can't forgive you anymore. But God, he's willing to forgive. The Bible says all, the Bible says, are unrighteousness. Hebrews 4:16, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may find mercy and grace to help in time of need. I'm thankful when I need grace, I can come to God and he'll give grace. You may come to people and they may not give you grace. You may have run out of grace and relationships. You may have run out of mercy from others. I think about that as a boy, especially when I think of mercy. I always think of myself as a boy when I think of mercy. And I think, please give me mercy. I know I did wrong, but please give me mercy. I remember one time I was in school and I went to an AC school, and I think it was my first full year in school. And our kids have these packets, these paces that they use, and I forgot all of them. I honestly don't believe it was intentional. My mom thought it was. And we live far away from the school, and you know, they weren't coming back to bring me this. So I had no schoolwork to do for the day, and I was in trouble. And back then, like it or not, but our school gave SWATs back then. And it was like, I was supposed to get SWATs from the pastor. And our school was in the basement, and I think he was I went up two floors or so to his office, and I was like, I'm getting in trouble. And I go to his office and I sit in his chair, little kid here. I was like third grade. I would have never done anything wrong. And I sit in his chair. Don't laugh at that. And I sit in his chair and I'm like, I'm going to get it. And I remember I sat there and we talked about school and we talked about sports. And I'm like, when's the punishment coming? And I'm just, you're bracing for it. And he gave me a piece of candy. I remember that. And sent me back downstairs. Hallelujah, I got mercy. My mom did not enjoy it that I got mercy, though. I remember that to this day. I deserved a punishment, but I got mercy. I got mercy. I got some grace on top of that even. I didn't get the punishment, but I got a gift. I got a piece of candy instead. I'll never forget that. I probably forgot my paces again, my schoolwork, but I didn't forget the mercy that I was given. I want to give you three areas where we can receive the mercy of God. Three areas that we can receive the mercy of God. Again, God's grace is available to all. His mercy is available to all. Everyone here on the face of this earth, it's available to all. But you must ask and receive the mercy of God. The Bible says in Luke chapter 18, I'll read the passage, a parable. A certain man, he spake a parable unto a certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous, and they despised others. Two went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee, the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, gag me, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week, and I give tithes of all that I possess. And I think God was saying the same thing, gag me. And the publican, standing afar off, the tax collector, would not lift so much as his eyes up into heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful. Be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and everyone that humbleth himself shall be exalted. The one came to God and said, God, I'm so good. And he told God how wonderful he was, and God was not impressed with him. And the other man said a very simple prayer. He said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Forgive me. Have mercy upon me. Have you ever received the mercy of God for your salvation? Has there been a time in your life where you came to God and said, God, I'm not good enough. I can't earn salvation. I can't earn the gift of heaven. I can't get there on my own. I'm deserving of hell. That's what we all deserve. If we see ourselves that I'm undone, I'm lost, and in God and his mercy, you say, God, would you forgive me? I remember that day as a 9-year-old boy where I asked God to come into my heart as my Savior. And I knew I was lost. I knew I was on my way to hell. And God in His mercy reached out and saved my soul. Not because I deserved it. Not because I earned it. But in His mercy, God saved me. In His mercy. See, pride will keep you from coming to God. Pride, when you think you're good and you've got it figured out and you can do it on your own, you don't need God then. You've got your works, your religion, you've got your possessions, but when you come to God humbly and say, God, be merciful to me because I am a sinner, forgive me, and then God extends mercy. Ask God for mercy. Number two, in Proverbs 28, verse number 13, repent for mercy. You ask for mercy for salvation, but then secondly, after you received that mercy of salvation, after you're saved, and then repentance. Have you ever sinned since you've been saved? I won't ask you to raise your hands because I don't want to have anyone lie and not raise their hands because we all have. Wouldn't that be nice if once you got saved, you never sinned again? Never had a wrong thought, never said the wrong thing, never gotten... No, we're sinners still. Once I'm saved, I've received the mercy of God for salvation, but guess what? I need God's mercies. The fact that I'm saved, I get God's mercies every morning. Every morning, every day that I'm saved is another testimony of the grace and mercy of God. But also, I need God's mercy every day because I keep sinning. I keep doing wrong, and I keep failing God, and I must come to God and say, God, I'm sorry, I failed again today. Again? You messed up again? And God said, nope, I'm ready to forgive. In Proverbs 28:13, it says, he that covereth his sin shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh shall have mercy. This is not talking about salvation, but this is talking about a relationship with God that every day after I get saved, I need to come to God and say, God, forgive me. I need mercy again today. I've failed you again. I've done wrong. That's working at your relationship with God to keep it right. Keeping your relate, God, please forgive me. It says, whoso confesseth, God, I'm sorry, and forsaketh and leave it behind, the Bible says, shall have what? Shall have what? Shall have mercy. See, too many times we say, God, forgive me, and we go right back to it. God, forgive me, go right back to it. Guess what? There is an end to God's mercy. There is, by our choice. It is. I think it was later in the notes, but we'll get there right now anyway. There's a time where you think, oh, God will give me another chance. You keep playing on God's mercy, and at some point, God's going to cut you off. You keep playing with sin and playing with God and your pride and your own way. And you say, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sin, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But God is not just a God of grace and mercy. He's a God of judgment. And He's also a God of holiness. And there's a time where God said, that's enough. Right? Where God cuts it off. You say, but God's going to... You keep coming up. If it's just lip service, God, forgive me, we go back to it. Lip service to God, forgive me, right back to it. That's not mercy. That's not confessing and forsaking it. That's showing in my heart I'm really not repentant of the sin that I'm confessing to God. We must be right with God. I'm thankful for the mercy of God. I'm thankful for the mercy of God. You can't live in sin and keep expecting God's mercy. My pastor growing up used to remind us of this. God is not always the God of the second chance. He's not. Oh, God will give me another chance. At some point, God said, that's it, and you're done. I'm calling you home. That's your last opportunity to be saved. You play on God's mercy for your salvation. Say, God will give me another chance. God will give me another chance. At some point, it will be your last chance. Your last chance of mercy by your choice. There is an end. Repent for mercy. Number three is this, and lastly this morning, show mercy. I've received mercy. I should give it as well. The Bible says in Luke 6:36, be therefore merciful as your Father also is merciful. See, I'm supposed to be a testimony of Jesus Christ, right? I'm supposed to be a light. I'm supposed to be a picture of the Lord. I know that I don't always do a great job at that. And neither do you, by the way, because we're sinners. But the Bible says, be ye therefore merciful as your Father also is merciful. Remember when Peter asked Jesus, how many times do I have to forgive my brother, right? Because brothers need a lot of forgiveness, don't they, girls? Right? Do they need a lot? They do a lot of wrong. The girls are probably perfect. The boys aren't. And I can pick on the boys. all right? Because I am one, all right? Just an older one. Peter came to Jesus. How many times do I have to forgive my brother? And he said, 7 times? Please say yes, because it's been 8. And I don't want to forgive that 8th time, maybe. That's how I picture it, at least. And he says, 7 times? No, 70 times 7. And Peter went, carry the one, and, 490 times, So he probably got out his little pocketbook, and he's marking in his little piece of stone, maybe, stone tablet, and how many times someone, at some point, how many, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 tallies, and how many is that? And you forget, you just keep forgiving. And Jesus gave the illustration of the man that owed so much. He owed so much. He was indebted. He'd have to give his whole life, his family, his possessions for the debt that he owed. And he went to his master and said, would you please forgive me? Would you give me time? And what did the master do? He forgave him all. He wiped the slate clean. Isn't that us today? I come to God and say, God, I owe you so much and I can never repay you. Would you just have mercy and forgive me? Would you give me time to try to get? And God said, I forgive you of all. The slate is wiped clean. Aren't you thankful? It's clean. It's empty. You stand before God as a saved person. God sees the blood of Jesus Christ. You'll never give an account for your sin because the blood of Jesus Christ has forgiven you. But then that same person that was forgiven of all, what did he do? He turned around and found someone that owed him so little. And he threw him into prison. And he said, you're gonna repay everything. And so then that man that was forgiven of all, it's taken back. You're not going to lose your salvation, but those that don't show the mercy. How many times are we given mercy and we don't give it? Blessed are the merciful, the Bible says, for they shall obtain mercy. The Bible says in James 2, for he shall have judgment without mercy that has showed no mercy, and mercy rejoiceth against judgment. People love judgment today, don't we? We love to crucify people on the internet. Well, not me, because I don't do social media. But people love to be the judge and the jury and condemn everyone and give judgment out, don't they? Well, people love doing that today when they don't know like a tenth of the facts, right? Don't think you know everything just because you read one article online, please, all right? But the Bible says, he shall have judgment without mercy that has showed no mercy, and mercy rejoiceth against judgment. We've been given mercy, haven't we? I should give mercy. First of all, that salvation that God has given to me, I should take that and I should pass it on to someone else. Well, they don't deserve that. Yes, they do. They deserve it just as much as you and I do, don't they? The mercy that I've been given, I could take and turn that around and I can show that to others. Be thankful for the mercy and the grace of God. I'll read the verses and then we'll finish today in Lamentations 3. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed because his compassions fail not. They're new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Lord, I'm thankful for your great love. I'm thankful for your great grace. I'm thankful for your great mercy. May we leave today realizing